Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to do part two. This is session 20, Freedom Encounters on Programming. We are on page 52. And this is a very vital part of all this work because programming has the idea, again, of imposing somebody else's will into the will of a human being. Now, it's one thing to freely choose to will. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 7, whoever's willing to do my will, whoever wills to do my will. From the Greek word thelema, the idea that if you choose to do my will, you shall know the teaching, whether it comes from God. Because free choice, you know, that's what, you know, opens us. We're choosing God. We're choosing to want that truth. And God then blesses that choice and obviously increases our experiential coming out of darkness into the light. And that's what occurs, because we're already in the darkness. As lost people, we are already in the darkness. We're already blinded. We're already subjugated by the sin code or the nature. And God comes to implant the new nature. Now, there's a difference between the old sin nature, which is about slavery, deception, lying, hostility to God. The new nature is all about truth and leading us to the full expression of a relationship with God, about freedom of the will. So one brings us to what we've been created to be, free. And the other, transmutation, steals and twists and distorts and uses that for a different purpose. So, as you're taking a look at all of this, and I pray that God is blessing you and giving you insight, maybe you are a chosen one coming out, maybe you're a multiple going through these things, and for many multiples that we've worked with over the years, depending how far they're out, and I've read a lot online of individual multiples who have shared their information, that have told about certain kinds of programming, and listen, let me just say this. Yes, there's Alice in Wonder programming, there's Kabbalah programming, Monarch programming, all kinds of programming. And we can list denial programming in different kinds, but again, what I just simply want to say is the programming is found. You can't program the air. You've got to program human mind, human will. So it's the will that is programmed, each personality. Now, there may be an overall program in the sense that the idea that they decide we're going to create 75 personalities with backups over here. You know, they create a system that they've planned out ahead of time overall. But normally you don't deal with the system as a whole. You engage personalities. You may engage one that might have leadership over others. But I have not seen to date where you're engaging all the personalities at once. That just doesn't occur. So that's why I'm not going to go over just everything's listed. If you want to read online, look, just type in Google in Alice in Wonderland programming, Fantasia programming, Kabbalah programming. Now listen, when you read a lot of stuff online, I mean, there's even a big manual put out there that somebody put out that goes over heavy-duty bloodlines, heavy-duty monarch stuff, whatever. There's a lot of disinformation also. And a lot of the information comes from an unhealed cult multiple that has not yet been completely freed. And I've seen this in some of the books where there are multiples that aren't completely freed. Now, they're free enough to tell about what they've been brought into, what little bits and pieces of memory they have, and so forth. But when I see that they've not been freed in the sense that they have, a relationship with God, and that they there's a wholeness. There are those who don't want to, you know, give up personalities, and what that might mean is not giving up programming or demonic energized abilities. Some people don't want to give up their psychic abilities, their knowing abilities. They might feel that it protects them. Well, that's, again, issues you're dealing with along the way with programmed cult multiples. Now, we dealt with this, we dealt with just quickly, we dealt with the idea of the splitting of the will. The bonding itself can be part of the programming because of the emotional tie. Some call that a soul tie. The programming in words, programming in deception, programming in scenarios. And by the way, let me say a scenario may be that handlers have sexual relations with the individuals to where, again, a bond is created. As a matter of fact, some we have found where some programmers and handlers have created a subpersonality inside of them to be, say it's Fred the programmer or Fred the handler. Well, they create, you know, a split with raw personality, and they're going to literally create themselves in a personality on the inside so that there's a Fred on the inside. And all that they are, they say, okay, you're Fred, and you're a programmer, and you're a handler, and you're to watch over the system, and you're to, you know, all these kind of things, so that sometimes you will find in multiples a handler, you know, that can program and do things, whatever else, who is just like the outside handler and programmer. I know, it's horrific. It's horrific what they've done. Now, in the process of splitting and bonding and doing this, and again, you may be able to list some other avenues of programming. Maybe you're maybe a cult multiple, a former multiple is listening, and you're saying, well, there's also this method they used and that method they used. And so please, you know, hey, email me, let me know about that, or tell others around, or use it, expose. Don't be afraid, expose the darkness. We've got to expose. Part of defeating darkness is exposing it. And we're even told to do that in the Word of God. So it's part of a biblical mandate that we expose the evil deeds of darkness, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 on down. So exposing that is very important. But in whatever method, it comes down to the same bottom line, that there is in a personality information, training, ability, and so forth to do a specific thing. And it's not something that they've chosen to do on their own. There many personalities will even say they have no choice, I cannot choose, which is not true. They might have been told that. But because in the origins, the original substance of the will has been, you've been created to choose. And so when you engage them to constantly say to them again and again about choice, which I'll talk about later on too, that that's part of the issue, that they begin to realize they do have choice. And I've had a personality come and talk to me and say, I cannot choose. I can't do anything to choose. And we've talked and engaged, and at will, when I've asked to talk to them, they've come up. And then I finally told them, listen, you've been talking to me. You've been coming up. You even read a book that I gave you to read. Obviously, you have choice, because the programming that they gave you told you you cannot choose. You can't do anything outside the coven, cult, group, whatever. And yet you're engaging me and discussing with me and going back and forth, and you're making choices. And all of a sudden, like a light hit them. They realize that, yes, it's true. They can make choices. And they don't have to, have that mental, programming in. Now, we're going to talk about breaking the programming later, because there's one thing about knowing that you've been programmed, and another thing about breaking it. And we'll discuss that in a little bit. But here's part of the issue in programming, too. Say again they've been split. Raw personality's there. They bonded to it. Then they programmed and programmed and programmed and programmed, and they've trained and trained and trained. Then, with the programming and the training, the imposition of will, information, teaching, so forth, and they want that to, they want that personality to do that, perform that job or that task, then they conjure, usually, sometimes it can be transferred from a high-level Luciferian, but they can conjure demonic presence and then place that presence in and on that personality as empowerment to fulfill the programming. Now listen, there is something similar on the Christian side. You and I who've gotten saved, we turn to Jesus Christ, and we want to take up the Great Commission. We take up the cross to follow Christ. That's our choice. We want to serve the Lord, and God has laid out the mission. The mission is to reach the world for Christ, make disciples of all nations, baptize them, so forth. Well, we're also told in Luke's Gospel, the last chapter, and in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses. And, you know, for over 30 years, I've experienced the clothing of power of God to be a witness for Christ. I've had the privilege of leading thousands to Christ. On a broad level, hundreds on a personal level, one-on-one, or a small group or whatever. And it's been an exciting thing. And I've felt the power. What is the power of the Holy Spirit for? Well, Acts 1:8, Jesus said, to be my witness. Well, in the biblical context of witness, literally means to be an active, effective, fruitful soul winner. Every single believer in the book of Acts, every single time it's listed throughout 30 years of history, if they are filled with the Spirit of God, they become a witness for Jesus Christ, and they become an effective one. So, you and I, if we... Now listen, to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit and not be a witness of Jesus Christ immediately puts out the Spirit's fire and quenches the Spirit of God completely. And so there's a lot of believers walking around saying, I don't feel filled with the Spirit. I don't feel clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you're not given over to the mission. The reason, the purpose for the power is to do the task. It's like charismatic giftings. If you understand charismatic giftings, if God gives you by the Holy Spirit the charismatic gifting of mercy, well, then there's a special level of operation showing and demonstrating mercy. If it's being a teacher, there's a special spirit-led operation and ability to be able to teach. But let's say you have the charismatic gift of teaching, but you're not teaching anybody. Well, then the power of that is dormant, and the gifting is dormant, and you're refusing to allow it to occur. And that can be by choice, by being backslidden, or by not just wanting to do it, or fear, or whatever else. Good news for us believers is we just need to do what God has said to do. Obedience, again, brings the fullness of all of it, even when it comes to giftings. Because the Spirit of God gives all of us gifts. Now, that's different than the clothing, the power of God. Just as the charismatic gift of teaching is for teaching, it's not for leadership, that's a different gift. Well, the clothing of the power from on high is for witnessing. Some just want it for feeling. Some just want it to feel good. Which there's no question about that. I've never been disappointed in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God and His joy and being lifted and so forth. There's times we've led people to Jesus and been in homes and on the street and in crusades and in churches or wherever, and led people to Jesus and felt that great power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we express it by saying, "Man, I feel like I'm on cloud nine." And because the power is there for the task. The power is there for the purpose of becoming that effective soul winner. And if you and I step out to do that, like in Acts chapter 9, verse 22, look what happens. Saul of Tarsus is saved. 3 days later, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at the next few verses in Acts chapter 9. Study it out. Then he steps out and begins to testify, witness. He begins to preach Jesus. And then the scripture says in verse 22 that he grew more and more powerful. Now, please understand, because the demonic side is a counterfeit to the real side, it occurs in somewhat the same way. Obviously, the wrong agenda, lies, and so forth. So, if a person has been programmed for a specific task, say their task is to be the priestess, or their task is to be the hunter that hunts a child, or to be an infiltrator in a local church. That's what they've been trained, programmed, trained, all of that, and then demonic empowerment's given to them. So that when they're triggered and set out to do their task, literally that demonic energy helps enforce the programming, whether word, scenario, repetition, screen, so forth. It empowers the task. That's why we talk about getting rid of the demonic as much as possible in the beginning, because you're literally deflating the energy. They call it being energized. It's demonized. Demonic power is a sign. When they conjure a demon on a programmed personality who's to be an assassin, the demon is ordered to empower that assassin goal, that assassin task, so that the demonic presence or more coming into that assassin empowers that task. The demons are, through the ritual, the conjuring, and so forth, assigned to empower that specific task. They're not there to do something different or something on their own. They're there to empower the task. We had an individual, as I mentioned before, that we found a sleeper on the inside, and we found that through engaging a demon that had nine others under him inside this sleeping personality, that when they got called up, they were to be empowered to go back to the cult leader father to take the whole physical body at 30 some years old. I think it was at 30 when they turned 30. To take the body back. And that's all the personality was to do, was to take the body back to the dad and you know, basically give the body back and become loyal again and come under the rule of the coven, because if they got out of it, well, at 30, a preset programming with demonization, which means that when the trigger date of the 30th birthday kicked in, that sleeper personality would be, you know, triggered to come up. The demonized presence, the presence of those demons then empower the task and energize them, that gives them the passion and drives them to go back. So programming drives demonization, plus the programming shows a driving passion. And will even show, you know, somewhat signs of the sense of and feeling of demonization, where we've seen in some you know, programmed personalities, we've engaged the demon, got rid of the usually there's more than one demon, so if you get rid of the demons in the programming, guess what happens then? Then it's like it's almost like they've been broken half. It's like they've been deflated. They still have programming. They've still been trained. They've still been told to do a certain thing, trained to do a certain thing. It's all they know. But the fiery, energetic drive, passionate drive to have it done, barring nothing, has been removed from them, and it's gone. If you engage personalities, excuse me. If you engage personalities that are programmed and you haven't already, do the deliverance. Get rid of the demonization. And you will deflate the supernatural empowerment that fuels the programming. What happens when they get retrieved? Listen, when a Christian is backslidden and so forth, they return to the Lord, surrender again to Jesus, and say, God, refill me with the Holy Spirit as I want to serve you and be a witness for you. God refills them with the Holy Spirit. Their life is wide open again, and they've taken up the task. Well, what happens when cult leaders get cult multiples back sometimes is that they go to those personalities that we've been dealing with. They punish them, of course. They do reprogramming. They give strict orders or whatever. They may just want to bury them down because they can't use them any longer. But if they can redo things to them, reprogram, and redemonize that particular personality with even more demons and being even stronger, well, then you've got something to do all over again. And that's part of the task that goes backward and forward. That's why the best thing to do is get rid of as much demonization as possible, talking to personalities, having the inner engagement with Jesus. Because when we talk about breaking the programming, a lot of that programming is broken at that engagement on the inside with the living Christ. And that's when everything's exchanged, and even the trigger issues and so forth, to where covens can't get them back to do anything to them. Well, let me just mention on page 52... the idea of programming and types. The issue is, again, whatever type of personality you have, you can name 50 different types. If they were purposely created, that means they were also, whether it was spoken into them, trained, screened, scenario, all the different, you know, use the computer to do repetitious or a video or whatever it may be. It's all programming, and again, simply the imposition of an agenda into that raw will. And our job, of course, is to come and to engage will and to bring it back. And that involves, a work like Isaiah 58 talks about, breaking the yoke. Then it says break every yoke, every yoke. So it's vital. It's absolutely vital. Very important. Let's mention for a quick moment here also, on page 52, B, identifying programming. How do you identify it? Well, along the way, when I'm dealing with a new personality, or personality comes up, like this officer I was dealing with one day, you know, we dealt with so many personalities and so much stuff. There was, you know, a number of us that had worked with this person. One day I showed up and started talking, and they said, "What are you talking about?" I mean, literally a denial personality came up with a powerful blocking to everything else inside. And they were just going on and on and on. "I don't know who you are. I don't know what I don't know what you're talking about. I've never met you in my..." You know, they said they never met me before. What helped break that was to literally go over memory, to show them things. I had to show my police chaplain card and say, "Listen, you're the one that recruited me, you know, a year ago. How did that happen if you don't know me? I've ridden these cars. I've been to your house. You've taken me to, you know..." So I go over all this stuff, and it begins to break. They begin to realize, and begins to break this. They begin to have a real conflict with just this scenario of, "I don't know you. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not a multiple. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a police officer doing my job." Well, obviously, that was when they were taken back once, and there was a militaristic side of developing that part. Now, another personality named Thane, that personality was trained at one point to come back and shoot me, to get me out of the way. And Thane had a conflict because, again, there was a breaking into that program part of them to the real will, which, again, real human will, Romans chapter 2, has the law of God written in there. There is conscience there. There is the issue of, James talks about, that even fallen man has a mark of the image of God left. So the issue of Romans chapter 2, that our conscience either bears witness, accuses us or excuses us, because the law of God is still imprinted. Even if you haven't heard on the outside, it's printed in. We've been created for that purpose. The will is created to have a conscience, and to have will, and to know truth, and to know God. That's what we're made for. So that for the called, it's bad news when any personality begins to, in their view, break down and realize that there's right and wrong, and realize ethical issues. And see, their whole goal is to eradicate all ethics, all ethical, you know, boundaries, that so that personality will do anything, cut a child, sacrifice, eat human body parts, etc., etc., and think that they're doing right. So identifying program deals with, as you're dealing with personalities, you must engage it. And there may be triggers that bring up sub-personalities, that you're talking with this person, that person, all of a sudden someone pops up to say, "You're not allowed to be here. You're not allowed to be here. I got to stop." You know, they're here to stop that, whether it's a protector or guardian, and usually you deal with them a lot. So in order to identify programming, you must engage personalities. And as you begin to engage them and listen to them and talk and see the repetition, see their job, listen to them talk about this is what they do, and as you engage and talk with them, they may say, "Well, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I've been told to do. This is what I have to do. This is all that I've ever done." and you begin to see then what it is, whether that's the issue of, you know, it could be any of the kinds of program personalities. Obviously, a runner, if they're all of a sudden they switch and they get up and they're running from you, you know you've just dealt with a programmed runner who may also be demonized. And I have yet today, to this very day, ever been able to catch a runner. When they run, buddy, they're up and out. Now, we've had, you know, others in the room, you know, block them, stop them, so forth, and have to engage them and talk to them and call on other personalities to come up so that we can stop the runner who's driven to run, whether to get to a phone or to a safe, quote, safe house. That's another issue. So engaging and talking and looking for the patterns, looking for the repetition, looking for the job, the identity. If they say, well, I am, you know, I do sex, and that's all they are, well, then you know you've got a programmed, trained, experienced sex slave. And by the way, you need to be careful. You need to be very careful. Because if there's a demonization side to that, they may be there with more powers than 50 prostitutes to try to seduce you and so forth. Well, the other side is the Holy Spirit giving us insight. Here's where you're doing the mapping, and here's where you're constantly listening to the Spirit of God, and you're looking, and the Lord just brings to you insight that there is such and such personality, and you just all of a sudden, and again, experiential discernment and insight. You know, if you've done this for 10 years or 15 or 20 or more, then there's a lot more experiential to immediately begin to see this is a priestess, this is a runner, this is a sex slave, this is an assassin, this is a cult loyal, this is a one that's going to be a denier, denial programming, so forth. You'll see that as you look for repetition too. So in all of it, you're engaging, relying on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may just simply tell you a specific kind of programming or whatever. You look for the repetition of what they're saying and doing. You look for the driving force in them. If the driving force is to do a particular thing, look for that drive and ask them where it came from and you know, see what they respond. And you'll learn along the way. You'll learn along the way, and you'll have more information for the next person coming around. Now, the other side is if you're engaging personality that has programming, and you sense, or you literally need to be, you know, pray for anything demonic on that, like a branch of a tree. Not all the branches have black birds, but on that particular personality branch, there may be a demon or demonized. They may have been demonized. So if you really see the drive, repetition, and antagonism, and if you like saw like Paul, the believer in the New Testament book of Acts, when the girl that had the python spirit, he got agitated. For me, there's that same sense of a spiritual agitation. So if you discern demonic stuff, you command the demons to come forward, of course, and you're going to deal with that. Now, when I deal with the demonization level, I may demand and command the demon to say, you know, I might say, how did you get in here? Of course, you know, they were put in there. How many are there? Deal with all those issues. But I may demand and command and say, what is your purpose here? What is your function? And again, rely on the Holy Spirit first, and even your observation first. And then if you command the demon, as you feel led and so forth, to say, you know, what their purpose is, and if they confess to cause this person to be the assassin, that's what they're there for. Well, bottom line is, when you get out, you know, the demons, you break half of everything that's there. You break the spirit, you break the passion, you break the supernatural compulsive drive. And you still have it in words. You still have it because that's what that part of personality believes and knows, and that's all they know. And they may get really disturbed because that's all they know and that's all they're supposed to be and do. Well, that's part of identifying. And you may, you know, if you become more of an expert on all kinds of different kinds of programming and you just know them, say you have 10 of them listed or whatever, and someone begins to exhibit one kind, well, you know, monarch or whatever, then you say, well, this has got, they got monarch programming. Well, okay. But then again, I found that monarchs, there's difference. Again, I've just found in the personalities, each personality, there is the programming. That's where you're going to deal with it anyway. Whether you know there's 50 others that are in a whole system of certain kind of programming, a whole system of programming, whatever, the bottom line is you got to deal with them. If you've done the deliverance issue over the whole system, getting head demons and as many demons out, when you come down to individual personalities, then if there's still demonization in some way or re-demonization, you get rid of that and engage in breaking the programming. Well, I'm going to go over right now with the last part of this session on breaking programming. Now, this is very important because that breaks the drive. Now, listen, in the old ways of deprogramming, in the sense of people going after kids that were brought into the Moonies, the cults, and all the different cults that were out during the 60s and 70s and so forth. They had people that were going out being called, quote, deprogrammers. They'd get them, you know, abduct them, obviously, in the sense, against their will, because their will was to be with the cult group, and they had had such level of programming that, you know, you're the enemy. And so they would literally, old programmers would steal the member in the cult, take them to a hotel, engage them rationally, which wasn't always the best thing because there many times was a demonization level there too. But there was also this engagement for them, again, to bring them back from a transmuted will to the transformed will that God gives, of freeing the will so that people can think and choose and want. Now listen, if someone chooses with all their own heart to be a Satanist, to hate God, or to be an atheist, a nihilist, an existentialist, whatever, obviously some people choose to reject God all their lives, and they'll end up going to hell. That's for sure. They'll be lost forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Now, that's a verse I quote to many personalities because I already have the assumption. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the programming says. I just know that human will, engaged with the truth of God, with the aid of the Spirit of God, will be able to choose. And so I just keep engaging them. So part of the breaking is definitely you have to deal with the personality. You have to deal with the individuals, and that comes from constant engagement, the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing certain personalities up, identifying them, talking, and so forth, as we've already said in the earlier sessions. But again, deliverance breaks it. Casting any demonic presence and power that has been specifically put there for that specific programming, listen, that breaks, that's like half the battle right there, if not more. Second is the Spirit of God. You're praying the Spirit of God engage this personality to touch this part of human will, to open eyes, to open heart. Again, as a personality, they have reason, intellect, they have emotion, and they have will as a separate subpersonality. And so the Spirit of God operates in the same way as He engages, as God engages them. And the more you can discuss with them, the more you can talk with them in that level of engagement. Now, there might be a sense of, they're afraid about God at first. They're afraid about touching the Bible and won't let you read a Bible. But if what I find that works the quickest is if you do the deliverance level and you've engaged and talked and the Spirit of God is working, and say that there is a certain personality that says, yes, I want to meet this Jesus you're talking about, which I always tell them, He will not force you to do anything. He will free you, but He won't force you. And so if I can get them to agree on the inside, for them to look inwardly and for me to pray for the Lord Jesus to come on the inside and to lead them through, as we've already looked at, I think, in session 19, to lead them through that encounter of with Jesus. Many times I'm looking for Jesus to speak things to them or to demonstrate the truth that breaks the pattern of programming that they've had, that they've been told they're a priestess, priestess, priestess. Well, Jesus definitely will come to offer them, to have them leave that, to come to be His, literally, kings and priests. He has a way of, you know, bringing out. And Jesus, again, operating, will always operate on the basis of the Word of God. And that's why, again, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus will there'll be a harmony in that work. There'll be a symphony in the work of the Spirit, the Word, and the person of the Lord Jesus in ministering to the personality. And many, again, many times when you engage one major personality, when it bottom line comes down that Jesus spoke to them, Jesus, you know, it could be, again, a supernatural work of the Spirit of God. That's, I always pray for the Holy Spirit to soften the personality, or the programming, rather, to break down that programming. Just as I've been out on the streets witnessing to people, a hardcore, big old muscle guy came one day and started yelling, "What are you guys doing out here witnessing, sharing?" He was, you know, his sin nature, that sin code, all the fur was up. He was mad and angry that we were out there sharing Christ. Well, I spoke a few words as I was just listening to the Spirit of God, and I literally watched as all of his muscles and his whole being relaxed, and as I felt the Spirit of God kind of fall and begin to operate on him, I watched him completely relax, put his head down, and even tears come to his eyes. That's the same way the Spirit of God's going to work. And so just assume the Spirit of God's going to operate and work, and the Lord Jesus is going to operate, and the Word of God has a power. It divides, you know what the power of the Word of God can do. It can divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. There's this whole penetrating work that Satan can't stop. No programming can stop as long as you've got engagement. Well, there's also reason. The idea that breaking program is giving reasons. That's the idea of apologetics, giving a reason for the hope you believe. And part of apologetics is pulling out the platform on which lies stand. A lot of times I talk to personalities that are knowledgeable and know about the coven. They don't want to give up the coven. They don't want to be disloyal. And I'll ask some questions that leads, what Francis Schaeffer used to say, to the logical conclusion. What does the coven promise you? What does, where does the coven meet? Where's the coven now? Why aren't they here now? Why aren't they doing this? Have they ever lied to you? You know, so I begin to deal with those issues to where they're thinking through, well, yeah, they've lied to me. Yeah, they've done things I didn't like. Yeah, they've betrayed me at times. Well, but they've done that because that's part of what, you know, I was being disobedient to them. And so you engage them like you engage anybody else that is coming out of a coven, a satanic group or whatever, or, you know, cult level stuff. So you engage them and you reason with them, you talk with them, you ask them questions, you allow them to ask questions. You bring the Word of God and you define the Word of God, and you make sure that when they hear you reading a scripture, now a lot of them will say, I can't hear what you're saying. Or if you open a Bible and say, read this, oh, the whole page looks fuzzy. That can be both a need to get rid of demons that will do that. They can't even see the words of God on the pages of the Bible. Or it may be that it's been put into their head that if you ever look into this book, it'll look blurry. Every time you look at it, it'll look blurry. And so they've had belief inoculation. Or if they, like one person had, if I touch that Bible, it'll shock me. And they had literally an abreaction. If they reached out and I started handing the Bible, they begin to touch it. Like, you know how you do on a carpet when you rub your feet along the carpet and you go touch somebody and give them a little shock? They might like have an abreaction. They literally feel like a stun gun or whatever it was used, or if they touched a Bible, their hand was burnt with a match with their eyes closed. So every time they touch a Bible, put their hand on it, their hand was burnt, and so they know not to touch one of those Bibles. Well, I usually say, well, why do you think they didn't want you to touch the Bible? Why do you think they kept you away from this book of God that shows the truth, that tells you about Jesus, that shows you compassion? They've never wanted you to see it because they know the power and that lies within the words of Scripture. So I share that with individual personalities. And we're talking and reasoning back and forth, and I'm sharing a verse. And if I share a verse of Scripture, sometimes I'll ask them to repeat it back, and I'll say, well, what is, you know, how do you understand that? Because I want them to know the Word of God as it actually is. I don't want them to have some kind of scripture that's been twisted, that if they read, "For God so loved the world," What that really means is that people have sex with you, that God wants to have sex with you, and that loving the world means having sex with everybody in a sex orgy. Well, no, it doesn't. That's part of what we talked about earlier, retruthing, showing them the truth. And that goes into the next point on page 53, truth verified. See, the Word of God has statements, but it also has stories. The Spirit of God will use the Word of God as far as precepts, will also use the Word of God as instruction, and will also show scenarios. But there will also be truth will be verified. As you're sharing the truth to an individual, you say, well, look, here's what the Word of God says. That helps verify what you're telling them. What is good and what is evil? You know, what the difference between the two. The book of Hebrews says anybody uses the Word of God enough, they train themselves to know, to distinguish good from evil. So the Word of God's going to do that to a human personality, going to help them distinguish between the two. So many times in hearing the Word of God, the truth of something is verified. The truth that Satan is a liar, the truth that Satan is a created being, a finite being, and not an infinite being. The truth that he'll never be able to overtake God. The truth that he can't fulfill the promises that he makes. Well, that can be verified in looking at the Word of God and the Spirit of God operating. And then literally on the inside, if you get them to the encounter of Christ on the inside, he can demonstrate the truth in front of them. He can answer things that nobody else would even know about, since he knows everything. So I never fear bringing them to Jesus, because there's nothing they can do to outwit Jesus. There's nothing they can do to even cult loyal personalities. They're just astounded by the presence of Jesus, the feeling they feel, the beauty they see, let alone the words that they engage with a different light, a different power, a different than anything they've ever seen. And then choice breaks programming. When they finally say, yes, I agree, this is wrong. That's part of metanoia, the repentance issue that all of us as believers have to go through. Repenting. You can't repent until you've realized this is wrong. That repentance, metanoia, means literally change. It means turn completely all the way around. Get rid of one thing and grab onto something else. So choice has to do with saying, when a person I say, okay, you know what? I reject the covenant. They lied to me. I reject, my job. When they could renounce their satanically given or programmed given job or task. When they can pray out loud with you to not only receive Christ, renounce the Luciferian agenda, renounce Satan, renounce programming, renounce all those things, and choose the truth, there is a tremendous break then in the driving force behind that personality. Now, the issue is they might also feel brokenness and anger. They might feel bad for all the things they've done. Well, the good news is Jesus is there to heal them. And Jesus does not hold guilty anyone whose will has been imposed. In other words, if a personality is 5 years old and they tell the story of someone putting a knife in their hand, and they put their big hands around their little hand, and they had to put the knife in a little baby body or kill a rabbit or whatever, they had to do something really bad, but they were told to do it. They felt led to do it by the demonic presence and the person. That's imposition of will. Even in law enforcement, we know they're not going to be guilty. But nevertheless, you take them to let Jesus say. Jesus will tell them. I've seen that happen again and again. Jesus would say, you have no part in that. You're not guilty for that. You're released from that. And speak to them. And yet that ministry, that need to be freed from any level of guilt or false guilt and condemnation, and accept the total good forgiveness of Jesus, releases them. Some personalities are afraid to change sometimes because of the bad things they've done. They think there's no hope. They're so totally into all of this, the ugly, evil, and sin, that there's nothing else to do but to do the evil, until again these engagements occur. Choice is evidence of ultimately breaking the programming part of things, to where They even recognize the trigger. They recognize the handler. They can acknowledge the handlers and programmers and coven people are all wrong, and they choose to renounce all that and trust Christ and to turn, you know, and follow the Lord and begin to go that direction. Now, sometimes personalities are ready to go with Jesus at that point. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes the Lord has them stay. So that's another issue. There are those out there that don't believe, well, no, you just, they believe more of a sense of integration. All I can tell you is I've just seen Jesus, you know, say, what does Jesus want to happen now? And so many times a little person, whatever, well, Jesus wants me just to go with him. If that's integration, fine. I see it as enfolding, or I just see it as healing. Because any time a personality ends up, after their encounter with Christ, obviously cleared from the demons and cleared from the programming and choosing, they freely go with him. I never see them again. Other personalities on the inside know that they're gone. And no coven member or military programmer or whatever can trigger them to come out again. There's never an annihilation of the human personality, but going with Jesus has some level of healing. Call it what you will. I just call it the healing, the healing that he brings, and the freedom. And whether that means that they go with him and that they're, quote, absorbed into the rest of the regular will, I don't know. I've left that up to the Lord. I do know there's been times, this is strange, I know, you'll have to pray about it, think about it, when Jesus has engaged some personality and I said, well, what does the Lord want you to do now? He says, well, the Lord has, there's a door right next to Jesus and he wants me to go with him through that door. And I said, well, is the door open or closed? Well, closed. And I said, Lord Jesus, if you want this person to go with you through the doorway, just go with them. Open the door, rather. And the door will open. Now, I've had personalities look through the door and see other personalities who were saved, healed, delivered, that were already gone for some time there. And they instantly wanted to go and be with them. Again, if we're dealing with the real Jesus, and that's the only thing to deal with, then we're dealing with simply a level of healing and taking away. Some have asked the question, here's a theological issue. When separate personalities get saved, healed, and delivered, in heaven, will God give them a new body? Are they actually going to be separate personalities later on? I don't have an answer for that. I just know that Jesus never annihilates human will, never annihilates human personality, redeems individual personalities. So I would just say, as you take through the inner healing part, if you say, Lord Jesus, do you want them to integrate? Do you want them to enfold into the whole of the personality? And how is that done? And how do you do that? I mean, this is Jesus who walked on water, who was inside a room, then disappeared and went outside of a room. There's no boundaries to the operation of the Lord Jesus, into the knowledge, into the ability. So again, and the breaking of the programming before any real, you know, final decisions can be made, going through that breaking of the programming to the point of ultimately them choosing. And there may be brokenness and anger at the coven, brokenness over the waste of life and so forth, or the feeling that they've given years and years and years of training to one thing that's been wrong all that time. Well, I then talk with them about that. I counsel them on that issue. I let personalities that were once an assassin or something else, they're now 40 years old in a 55-year-old body. And I say, well, listen, now is the time to pick up the cross, serve Christ, see what God wants you to do. And in some cases, you know, the Lord Jesus gives them an assignment and they're task ready because the human will wants something to do. We don't want to just sit and be neutral, be nothing, that God would give something. So once all of that programming, everything was gone, you still have a human personality that might have spent 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years doing things. And now they want. So I leave that to the inner exchange Jesus What do you want? You know, obviously on a discipleship level, let's get in the Word of God. Let's read. Let's study. Let's, you know, many times I've given, you know, a personality a Bible, and they obviously they think it's theirs. At first, they don't want to let anybody else read it. So I always say, you got to share with, you know, read it to all the other personalities. But ultimately, let's see what Jesus wants to do in your life right now. What does he want you to do? And when programming's broke there and the triggers and so forth, then even if call members call, whatever else, you know, they just, I've had personalities preach to and yell at the handlers and deal with them in that way. Page 53, the last part of that is D, exchanging programming. Now here's the principle in Colossians chapter 3, putting that should be off, O-F-F, putting off and putting on. Putting off the old, I mean, listen, as a Christian, we should understand, putting off the old life, the old self. It even says that in the book of Ephesians, you know, to putting off the old self and the new self being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So there is a point in which we're putting off. Sin code is sin programming. I'm putting off the sin nature stuff. If I look at Colossians chapter 3 and it says to put to death, put off, you know, get rid of, you know, this, you know, this, all those different things, well, that's what God wants me to do, to get rid of all those different things. And then it says in Colossians 3 to clothe yourselves with Christ and put on compassion, put on. So there is an exchange that goes on, even for every personality, to put off and put on. It's not just putting off and standing there empty and neutral. It's putting off in Christ to put on the character and likeness of Jesus and doing what he wants and following him. So in the inner healing issues too, what does Jesus want you to put off? What does he want you to get rid of? What does he want you to renounce? You know, putting off everything. And then also obviously putting on. God wants you to put on the armor of God. God wants you to do this and God wants you to do that. So exchanging programming, that's why I say here, with what? If you break all the, you know, if you're going through all this and programming is broken through the, you know, the demonization being broken and through the engagement of the Word of God, of truth being verified both outwardly and inwardly by the Spirit, by Jesus, and what he says, by you showing them the Word of God, and even your character. When they realize that you don't lie and cheat and steal, that you don't abuse them and sexually rape them, that you're not playing some game with them, they realize that truth is verified by your life, by your speech, and it is very important to them. Well, if they're getting rid of the old programming, it's all broken, they're renouncing all that old programming, well, then what do you replace it with? Well, in the free choice, obviously truth, God's will, God's will. Let me just say this in closing towards this part. Many times I've wondered over the years, when do I really know that a cult moldable is really, really turning and completely, you know, getting away? And the Lord really spoke to my heart, and I really believe this is biblically true too, and the turning on evil is a clear sign of change. When personalities, you know, say they've gone through all this deliverance and healing, turning to Christ, renouncing programming and their jobs and so forth. And many times that's involved them giving up robes, giving up knives, giving up books of shadows. You know, they give up things that they were using. If a priestess has certain things, or if an assassin has certain things, or if a, you know, depending on who. And they give up certain things. I've had one infiltrator, a couple of them actually, share what, how they were trained and how they were, you know, used to get inside a church and what their methods were. That's why we've come out with materials to warn the body of Christ on the infiltration of churches and how they do things. Well, where did that come from? Well, not only what we've observed, but now what the confessions are of an actual infiltrator and how they were trained. That's why we know about splitting up, you know, even materials that we read was brought to us on how to the splitting and the moment, the raw personalities there and all of that is a part of also listening to them that has enabled us to see how it is they work and operate and how we in Christ can counter all of that. So I think in a big issue in the area of programming is when they can turn on evil, when there's a renunciation, there's no more drive. Now listen, when a person that has lived in a certain lifestyle, drugs, alcohol, sex issues, whatever else, and they repent, turn to Christ, they begin to walk with the Lord Jesus, normally as a pastor, I realize that when a person begins to backslide, they begin to backslide in the areas they once, you know, where sin had a control of their life. And I just want you to know that there's times that there's personalities that may begin to, you know, have, that's where some counsel comes in. And that's why I want to say that you exchange the programming with new things to do. I have found that when personalities that are not yet supposed to go or be healed, when they're still around, you know, God have the, you know, in the encounters and so forth, that the Lord may give them an agenda, something to do, to follow Him, to get in the Word, to grow, to learn, to do so many things, in you know, going the new direction. In Mark chapter 5, the guy wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus gave an assignment. Go back to your own town, tell them what great things the Lord has done. Would to God many personalities, you know, write emails and tell people and write materials and say, listen, Jesus Christ set me free, and give the testimony and say, I was once programmed and I did certain things. And, you know, that's what testimony. So let them tell testimony too. And maybe you can, you know, there's on our website, we will have personalities that we will, sub-personalities recorded that we'll talk about their engagement with the dark side and programming, whatever, and then they're turning to this side. And they'll tell and confess, and they will, by that process, they will turn on evil, and they will replace the old programming with God's will. Romans chapter 12 says that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And when you and I step in an offering, you know, we yield to God, we turn to Him. No longer be, you know, caught in the patterns. You see how it says that in Romans 12? That we'll no longer be taken control of by the patterns of the fallen world, the thinking and actions and so forth, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can be able to test and approve, scrutinize what God's will really is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So may God bless you, and again, may He add to you, this is a very, very detailed but yet liberating work, and may God increase all of us to be able to help someone in a quicker manner. But God doesn't go beyond the human will's capacity to respond. He doesn't go over the head. He doesn't blindside. And that's part of the issue. Human will is what we are. And God doesn't annihilate that. God doesn't, you know, go around. I mean, we have to say yes. When we're impacted with the gospel and we're called on, like it says in the book of Acts, God summons all people everywhere to repent. There's a calling from the Word, the Spirit, from Christ to repent of sin and the sin code nature, and then to turn in faith and trust Jesus Christ. He leads us out. And we got to trust the, you know, and that there's been time. It took me 23 years to lead my dad to Christ, eventually, him to come to the Lord. Now, there's other people that I've led to Christ first time out in sharing Jesus with somebody. Many times we've led somebody to Jesus. In a person whose will has been really, you know, engaged this way, well, you can understand why in one human being, if there's numerous personalities, that it takes a while. It takes a while to undo without damaging the human will. And I trust that the Lord will be able to. There's, again, at times in the inner engagement of healing, when Jesus invites little ones and others to go, many times, 20, 30, 40, other personalities also want to line up. They all want to follow Jesus. They all want to come now. And they may be, many times those are home-created personalities. But there's times when there's been groups that have come and said, we all want to go with Jesus. We all want to surrender. We all want to move His way. We all want to be healed. And then, again, in that engagement with Jesus, there is healing, and there is freedom. And the ultimate goal is for God to re-heal the whole human being, that there is one will, one person, as a whole. And whether that's that he enfolded all the personalities in through the healing, delivering, saving process, whether you call that integration, I simply call it healing, and bringing the person back to God's will, in engaging. And that means they have to grow in discipleship, which we'll talk about too. They got to grow like in any of the rest of us. And they might have a harder time because they were used to having other personalities do things for them. Now they got to do it. Well, listen, the Lord bless you and strengthen you and just refresh you in every single way. And listen, may he give you other multiples who need to get out. Remember that there's over 4.5 million diagnosed cases, at least, with another 4 or 5 million that are out there intact, and probably another 5 million by this time that are little ones, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds going through the process. And the dark side is constantly sharpening their tools. May God bless us. May God, the Lord of the harvest, give us more laborers and encourage us to have an army of those who can repair broken walls and so forth. Isaiah 58. The Lord Jesus bless you. This is Russ Dizdar, the Freedom Encounter Internet course from the organization Shatter the Darkness.